All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Epic Phelan. Today I have my two favorite Phelans. They are my sisters. We got Alana Phelan and Aaron Phelan. Hello, Alana, and hello, Aaron.
Hello.
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 I'm glad it's known to the world that we're your favorites. So
you are. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Take note, everyone.
And it's also just a good little jab at the brothers, too.
They will love that.
They, yeah. They'll be like, well, they're my favorite, too, so.
You can edit that part out. That they're your favorite. That part.
No, we're leaving it in. So, lots of interesting things going on in your worlds, but you're also, like, totally interesting people, so that's why I wanted to have you on. Number one, so being sisters, but you're like extremely close in age.
Yes. Yep. 11 months.
11 months. Irish twins, I believe, is the derogatory way to put that. But so you've done like lots of stuff together. Like, you know, so of course, like growing up, other than just being sisters, like you're super tight.
Yeah, yeah. Like we grew up dancing together, always in the same classes. We grew up and then cheerleading together. Aaron will have a story about that, but cheerleading together. But also we have just, since we're so close, we have the same friend group as well. So yeah, super close.
Our fiancés are best friends. Now I can say fiancés.
Yes. Yeah, yes. And congratulations to Aaron. Just got engaged. Both Alana and Aaron are now engaged.
We do everything together.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Alana, you had to put off your wedding.
Yeah, so we were supposed to get married in September of this year. So we decided early on, kind of in the pandemic, probably March or April, that we would move our wedding to next year. And I'm glad that we did. But yeah, so it's changed to July of next year. So it will be going on. By that point, we'll have been engaged for 3 years. So we are not moving it again. Yeah.
That's pretty wild. It must be pretty stressful. You're able to do that like without being hit financially too much, or
like... Yeah, there's only one vendor that we had a little bit of problems with, but I think we sorted it out. So other than that, we had it pretty easy in terms of everybody had the date, the new date available and whatnot. So
and I can't see it, like, I mean, the vaccines are out and everything like that, so I can't see it going, you know, that long. You know, I can't, like, I could see it should be okay.
Yeah, fingers crossed, because we are not moving it again.
And Aaron's like, you're not moving it again because it's going to delay her too. So Cheer, tell me a little bit more about Cheer, because especially as a guy and a lot of my podcast listeners, like I've had lots of like different martial artists on, lots of athletes and gym owners and whatnot. And I think sometimes there's a misconception as towards the difficulty of and the actual athleticism in cheer.
Yes. Alana, do you want to go with this one?
Yeah. So I guess I'll explain a little bit about kind of what cheerleading is. We don't shake around pom-poms. We don't do, you know, any actual cheers. It's quite athletic. So we do a component of tumbling, dance, stunting, where we lift people, and then basket tosses, where we toss people in the air and catch them. So Aaron and I, when we were cheering together, we actually were stunt partners together. So just to add on to how close we are, we also, in our cheer practices, were stunting super close together. So that was really fun. We probably joined Cheer. Aaron, when was it? When did we join the gym?
Gym is at season 15, like we're currently in season 15. So you would have been here for 14 years and I would have been here for 13 now.
Yeah, so we've traveled quite a bit through cheerleading. We've been fortunate to have done that as well. We've both been to and coached at the World Cheerleading Champions. Or what is it? No, what is it called? The Cheerleading World and Dance Championships or something like that? Like, what is the actual name of it?
I don't know. I just call it Worlds.
So we've both coached and been an athlete at Worlds. Aaron cheered a little bit, a few years longer than I did. So my last season was in 2015 and Aaron's last season was
2018.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Alana said, we've gotten to travel quite a bit too, both for, because we've been on the coaching aspect of it since we were like 15 and 16, I think, or 14 and 15. So we've worked there for a really long time as well as being athletes, but we've gotten pretty much like all over the states, I would say. Worlds is in Orlando, so we're there every year. Minus last year was the first year we've not been there since we've been Worlds athletes or coaches. I actually got to compete twice in China, and then I got to compete in Mexico as well. So I've gotten to go a little bit further, which is really cool. But yeah, it's opened a lot of doors for us, I would say.
You were coaching as well, were you not? Or?
Yeah. So the owner of the gym was our school teacher. So when she started the All-Star Cheerleading Gym, it was kind of like unfamiliar territory and nobody really knew like what it was. You had cheerleading in schools and stuff, but it wasn't as, I guess, as intense. And so she pretty much took the U of A cheer team and turned it into an all-star team. And that's kind of how that started in Edmonton. Yeah, so she was both of our teachers. She was actually Dan and Megan's teacher as well. But she started the gym. And then I think we were both there for, we would have been there for 2 years. And then after my first year, I think we pretty much started like coaching training and started coaching like the really little ones. Again, she put us together for that as well. So we were coaching partners. We were stunting partners. We kind of just did, everybody called us the sisters in the gym. So we did that right away as well. So we've been working for her just as long as we've been athletes for her. So
being coaches and even just having the discipline to be there, because I mean, you know, you screw up in another sport and it's not like you're dropping somebody that's falling from 15 feet in the air or whatever, right? So it's like, it's a pretty serious thing. But would you say that you've kind of like got any kind of like extra discipline from it, or any like, has it helped you in like everyday life at all? Or
100%. 100%. I think being a part of a team at such a young age, like even Tyler says a ton, he works with guys who have grown up on like different sports teams and stuff. And he works with guys who have not played sports as kids. And it makes such a difference in the real world. And that's part of Alana and I kind of go the extra mile with our kids as well. And in that we were lucky enough to be raised by coaches who did teach us more than just the skills. They taught us kind of life lessons along the way without us even really knowing it. And I think Alana and I kind of instill that in our kids as well, is that there's more than just like throwing people around or doing some cool flips that we try to teach our kids. So I would say 100%.
I always tell this to my kids that I coach. Also, we always joke around and say that we have 25 kids or whatever. We don't. Those are our athletes that we coach. But we always teach our kids that, you know, accountability is a huge factor of it. You need to be self-accountable, but also you have 24 other people that are relying on you to make sure you show up on time, make sure you show up, make sure you're putting your best foot forward. And then also it teaches you time management too, because you do have those scheduled practices throughout the week. Generally, we have 2 to 3 practices throughout the week that are anywhere between 2 and 3 hours. So it does teach people good time management, because especially any of our kids that are in school or university, they need to make sure they get their projects or get their homework done before practice starts if it's due the next day. So definitely time management, I always say, and then accountability is a huge one too.
Perfect. And as coaches, so this is something that's kind of an interesting question that I like to ask coaches, is that you got like natural talent versus just somebody that's like dedicated. Right. And you've probably seen that with like, you know, different kids or even, you know, maybe even yourselves. I don't know. What do you think? Like, have you seen a big difference in the two? Like if maybe somebody just is like talented, but they just don't have that drive versus the kid that has the drive, who's going further?
1,000%. Alana and I will always, always, always say that we would rather take a kid who's willing to learn and is dedicated to the team and all of that, rather than a kid that maybe has all of the skills plus some, and the team's kind of meh to them. Like they just, their parents drop them off. They just are good at the skills, but really not the best teammate. I would much, much rather, you can't teach a kid, you can, but you can't teach a kid dedication or respect or teamwork when they're 16, 17 years old as easily as you can teach like skills. Skills are easy, but if you don't want to work hard for your coach, regardless of what angle we try to teach you those skills, if you don't want to work hard, I can't force you to work hard.
Yeah, we always say biggest thing in practices is attitude and effort. I will teach a kid that doesn't know anything way easier and they'll pick it up easier than a kid who knows how to do everything, or so they say, right? Like, you can always improve your skills, but yeah, attitude and effort are always huge, huge, huge with any of our teams in the gym.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of baby steps, right? And just like, rather than working on something that's almost unattainable, and no matter what it is, you know, whether it be, you know, in business or whether it be sports or whatnot, you'll work on just those fundamentals and just like baby steps, rather than trying to like do something amazing right away, you know, that maybe the talented kid could do, or maybe somebody else can do, because you'll just, you'll advance that much further and faster. Right.
Well, and the goal at the end of that is so much more rewarding when you've had to take baby steps and then you got knocked down two steps because you, you know, didn't succeed at it right away. Then when you do succeed, then you appreciate it so much more. And rather than a kid that everything maybe just comes so easily to them, then when they fail, they don't know how to fail. They don't know how to recover. They don't know how to come back from it, because everything's just been so easy for them.
We also have 7 levels in cheerleading, in our all-star cheerleading. So, you know, of course, they start at level 1. The highest is level 7. And we do a ton of drills in between stunting and tumbling baskets to make sure that people do stay as safe as possible, and that we make sure that they're making the right progressions before they move on to the next skill.
What would you say have been some of your biggest challenges when it comes to being an athlete?
Like, okay, I feel like I used to be, and like still a little bit am, but I grew quite a bit as, once Alana retired as an athlete, I didn't really have like somebody to kind of tell me when I needed to shut up and when I needed to just listen. And so I was a little bit hard-headed. So as soon as Alana retired, I kind of had to be like, okay, I wouldn't say I wasn't coachable. I would just say that I was a little bit stubborn compared to her. So I feel like my biggest like thing as soon as Alana retired was like, okay, I have to look at things differently. I felt like everybody was always on the attack when they came and gave me a correction. And so I kind of had to learn how to be a little bit more coachable, which then I think in turn kind of changed how I coached my kids as well. But I think like mentally, that was probably the hardest thing for me, was when I had somebody that was constantly like, okay, Erin, like tone it down a little bit. And then she was gone and I like didn't know how to tone it down. And so I think I hit a couple of brick walls a couple of times with that. I think that was something that was like kind of hard for me mentally. But then once I figured it out, I think I was okay.
That makes sense. I can somehow identify with exactly what you're saying. I don't know why. The stubbornness. Yeah, I totally feel your pain. So we kind of were talking about this before the podcast, and we kind of during, I guess, the beginning of the podcast, we were talking about the weddings.
Yeah.
Yes.
The weddings.
The weddings. Growing up, being older than you, you know, I wasn't in the house really, but having the 3-4 older brothers, or 4 brothers, 1 younger, is that intimidating to the boyfriends?
They were okay. I know I gave Chris a little bit of a heads up before any of
you have maniac relatives, is that?
I mean, Tyler kind of like snuck in there though, because we were friends for so long before we dated. We were friends for 8 years before we even dated. So I think with him, once we did start actually dating, I think it was probably Sean who was like, I know you've been around a lot, but like kind of have to give you the whole older brother speech and like don't mess around, and like kind of had the conversation with him. But I don't think it was very intimidating for him. But I mean, in the past with previous boyfriends, I think it was pretty intimidating for them to step in to 4 brothers, especially like we say Brendan's a little brother, but he's bigger than both of us.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he's not little.
He's like 6'3" or 6'4". So he's huge. Yeah. So just because he's a younger brother doesn't mean he's not intimidating. But yeah. Absolutely. Would you say that also maybe lent to being more competitive, like having the older brothers, or no?
I don't know.
You guys have, you know, always done like extremely well with everything. You're pretty on it when it comes to like whatever you pursue. So the boys are a little more, what do you say, like more rebellious, I guess would be the word. How do I diplomatically put this?
I say it correctly.
Yeah. or probably just being close, like, with each other to be able to, like, have each other's back, maybe, that really helped.
I think having four brothers and then only having one other sister, you're kind of, you're automatically, like, we're, and I mean, the age thing, too. Don't get me wrong, we didn't always get along. There's been times where that's we right. didn't.
Really?
Yes, there has.
We would, like, have, like, physical altercations, and then 5 minutes later, she'd be like, okay, let's go downstairs, or let's go for, you know, whatever. Like, we'd get over it pretty fast. But, like, when you're two teenagers and you have the same group of friends and, like, everything you do is together, sometimes it got a little bit much, I think, for us. But
yeah,
I think having four brothers, though, did make us quite a bit closer, and with us being the same age, so.
And what would you say, okay, so if you're taking a look at somebody that's looking to get into cheer, and you know what, I may as well say it now, because, like, so a young guy wanted to get into cheer, or a girl wanting to get into cheer, what are some things that they should look for, that they should do, or probably, they'd probably be getting it into such a young age that their parents would probably be putting them in it?
We have quite a few different programs that you can start with. So we've kind of, we've got, like, recreational classes, which you kind of learn all the aspects of cheerleading, but you don't compete it. And it's just kind of a for fun class. It's once a week kind of thing. And then your next program would be your prep program, which kind of, like, gets you ready for the all-star program. It's a little bit more practice than the recreational program, and you compete, but it's not quite as intense as the all-star program. And there's no tryouts. You just kind of sign up for both of those programs. And then the all-star program you have to sign up for. And then we place you as staff. We'll put you on a team that we think is best for you, and we kind of go from there. And it's for all ages. Like, we can have beginners that are 16, and we can have beginners. I coached little 3- and 4-year-olds. So we can have them kind of all ages. But I'll let Alana kind of talk about the guys, because she actually pretty much, like, helped build the co-ed program, our world's team. So I'll let her talk about that.
I coached our co-ed program for 3 years. So we absolutely have had, you know, adult guys that want to join. They're 18, 19, 20. Even I think our oldest that we had on our team was in his late 20s. So we had about usually between, like, 10 and 13 boys and the rest female. So we've had them join. They learn, surprisingly, they learn how to tumble pretty quick because they're pretty fearless.
And girls get so upset about it. They're like, we've been working that skill for how many months and we can't get it. But boys are like, oh, just jump and flip. No problem.
Yeah. So we have had a couple boys join later on. We actually had two boys that had grown up playing hockey, and they just decided, they were 18, 19. They decided that, I'm going to join cheerleading because that's where all the girls are. And they actually love it. They've been doing it for 3 years. So it doesn't seem like a long time, but when you're in your early 20s and you still have that sense of discipline required by cheer, but you still want to go out and have your, you know, teenage, early 20 boy lifestyle, it's surprising that they're still here. And they, even at that older age, we say that that's older for cheerleading, but even at that older age, it's still, they're still getting new skills. They're still tumbling. They learn how to stunt really well. So we do have a lot of boys that come in just kind of, and not had any previous cheer or gymnastics experience, and they end up really loving it. I think it's the team aspect of it. And then also they do like a little bit of a structure, whether they say they do or they don't. They do like that structured, I have to be there twice or three times a week, even if it's a Friday night, because we have one Friday night practice a month. So they love it though.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. So all ages kind of thing. That's really all I have on the cheer. Is there anything else you want to mention that I might be missing?
I appreciate you saying that it's very misunderstood, because I feel like it really is. I feel like a lot of people, like, don't quite get how sometimes physical, I guess, it can be. So I appreciate you saying that.
Is it not like Bring It On or?
No. Oh my God. No. No? No. It is not.
No, God.
They don't have to learn, like, rhymes like, "Burr, it's cold in here. There must be some toros in the atmosphere."
No, we do not.
I mean, when we went to China, we did have to do, like, a chant, because we were, like, the team from Canada. So we did have to do, like, a chant. And I guess kind of on that end of things, there is, like, part of worlds, it's like ICU worlds. So there's, like, Team Canada, Team USA, Team Thailand, Team England, and they're from all over the world. And those, that ICU cheerleading, they do the chants and they do have the pom-poms and stuff, but it's not like the courtside pom-poms that you see on Bring It On, by no means.
That's awesome. So other than cheerleading, Alana is doing designs by A.
That's Woo! Right. So yes.
A side hustle.
That's right. Yeah. So I just started this year in September, just kind of playing around, making some home signs and decor for friends and family and whatnot. So it's been a lot of fun just during the Christmas season here. People were loving these acrylic ornaments that I was doing. So I got a ton of orders for those. And it's just lots of fun. I like making it for my friends and family. So.
All right. Anything else that you kind of want to mention? Do you want to hype your school at all or?
Yeah, so we have two locations in Edmonton. We have the one on 50th Street and then the one kind of near St. Albert Trail. So it's our North Gym and our South Gym. In Edmonton, there's us and then another gym that are kind of like the big gyms in Edmonton. And then there's Deep Blue, which is in, I think they're in Spruce Grove. Yeah, so but ours is Alberta Cheer Empire. So there's two different locations throughout Edmonton. We don't have any in Calgary or Sherwood Park or anything like that. We're only in Edmonton.
So that wraps up pretty much everything for today. Thank you very much, Alana and Aaron, for being on the podcast. And until next time, stay epic.
Thanks again for listening to Epic Phelan. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe. Give me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Real Ryan Phelan. And visit my website at thecalgaryrealestateguy.com. Until next time, stay epic.